This is agenda paper 5A. Okay, who am I handing over to?
Is there anything we want to say?
So you've gone away and taken on board the comments that we got from the committee, in particular changing the lead-in to the document.
So I think that's right. If it's helpful, the clean version obviously easier to read. The markup shows you the change, and essentially the change is all focused on the intro and setting this up. And what we try to do in that intro, I suppose, is just set it up much more like how we set up other agenda decisions, in terms of just explaining we got a request about these particular requirements in the standard. After the intro, there's just one or two other, I call more minor changes on where pieces were highlighted by committee members.
In particular, taking out the reference to errors.
Absolutely. So all reference to errors is removed, and suffering some of the anywhere there was a must wording to try and change it.
Okay. I'd say as well is now, hopefully we've reflected that we are looking at the disclosure objective and that the underlying requirements in 44B and 44E then support, where they support the overall disclosure objective.
Anybody got any comments?
Well, just to say that, effectively, having read quickly, very quickly, the updated tentative agenda decision, effectively, it reflects our discussions yesterday, and I'm fine with it.
I think it's better. There is a couple of sentences I'd like to focus on. In the first paragraph, it's asked whether the application of these paragraphs leads an entity to provide disclosures that enable investors to evaluate changes in liabilities. I don't think we can answer that question. Only an investor can answer that question. It's grammatical. I would think, because what we're trying to answer is whether, if you do a reconciliation, do you have to do the linking and disaggregation? So I guess I would rather have that sentence about whether, if an entity was to do the reconciliation, do they have to do the link to the balance sheet and cash flow statement and about the disaggregations. I'd be like to be more specific in the question so that you can then see, okay, this is the question, and that's directly what we're answering.
You know, but isn't the question whether or not the guidance is clear to meet the disclosure objective?
I mean, we can word that.
I guess to me that's what I understood the question to be. Is the guidance sufficiently clear to meet the disclosure objective? The staff has concluded yes, it is, while highlighting some specific areas that need to be considered that are in the guidance, that perhaps weren't observed in the research done. Is that a fair representation? I guess I agree with Bob that we can't say if the investors can evaluate the changes, but we can assess whether or not the guidance is sufficiently clear to meet the disclosure objective, which is the whole point.
That's more the sentence we've got in the last paragraph. If we use more along those lines in the introduction, I think it would be a fairer reflection of what we're addressing.
Not to supersede the other point that Bob had, but that was one of the comments that I wanted to make, is that we changed that sentence to say, accordingly, the committee concluded that the application of the requirements in paragraphs blah, blah, blah of IS 7 is sufficiently clear to lead to disclosure that meets the disclosure objectives.
Okay.
Yeah. Yep. Because I think that's what we concluded, that the guidance is clear.
Yep.
It's a reiteration that people need to go look at the guidance and make sure they're applying it appropriately.
Yep.
You're right.
Could I just clarify with both of you, sorry. The language that is currently in the first paragraph that you just read out, Bob, that reflects precisely other than, you know, users versus investors, because we were trying to be consistent in the paper, what the disclosure objective that is in paragraph 44A. So I just to make sure we understand, would you be comfortable if 44A referred to satisfying the objective as opposed to the words that are currently in there, because they are the same?
The Bonnie's would help clarify, and my second point was on that same sentence. I understand you, but what you're asking is whether the application leads an
the committee can't
investor to evaluate changes, which we can't
assess whether whether an investor can do this. So it's not a question that I can see where they're coming from. Yeah. It's not really a question you guys can answer, because you can't put yourself in investors' shoes to the extent to conclude, whereas you can comment on whether there's, you know, the requirements are adequate to make it clear that that's what they're being required to do.
Yes.
They can't. The committee can't comment on whether whether applying this is going to result in an investor being able to make these evaluations, because these guys aren't investors.
I understand that. I guess my question is, I understood the comment to mean that paragraph would be better referring to, does it enable the achievement of the objective in paragraph 44A, but the objective in paragraph 44A is exactly what that sentence currently says. Is the committee happy that question can be answered?
I was going to suggest a specific amendment to that sentence to I think respond to the concerns that Bob and then Bonnie expressed. If you says specifically, investors asked whether the disclosure requirements in paragraph da 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 require an entity to provide disclosures that meet the disclosure objective in paragraph 44A, comma, which is to enable investor, you know, just identify that statement as being 44A.
And users of financial statements. I assume that's investors, but there's lots of users of financial statements, including regulators and other people. But
So if you just tweak that first sentence so it's clear that you're saying it is the objective that's given 44A. Yes. Okay.
Rather than the committee assessing it. Goro?
Yeah, thank you. I think that this updated version may become easier to read than the decision and than the previous one. But still, I am not very sure that this agenda decision will help to improve the situation where that so many preparers are, you know, that failing to provide sufficient information to investors. And I'm still I think that if this is at the fact, you know, the committee can do, I do not object, but still I think that this agenda decision will have a much, I do not have a conviction that we can, you know, improve the situation, so that I still prefer to have that in this agenda decision, if possible, that if we can provide that educational material, or that separately that ISP, the board can develop that some kind of educational material which shows that what kind of disclosure would satisfy that the disclosure objective, that would be, you know, that I think that we need some kind of that kind of separate material than this agenda decision. Thank you.
We can still separately consider whether we need to take further actions, but I hope that as a starting point, an agenda decision is a pretty good signal to the market that it's important. Guy?
So I agree with the suggestions that were made about the sentence in the first paragraph, and I think I think Mary's summary was good. That would be a better phraseology. One comment along the lines of the must provide, or not trying to, being concerned about not creating a bit of an expectations gap. There's just one other aspect of it that I continue to pause on, and it's on the I think it's the last page of the agenda decision in point B, where we've introduced the paragraph 112C of IS1, the need to provide additional information if it's relevant to an understanding. The next sentence that says, accordingly, in considering the investor information needs in BC10, an entity explains each class of liability. I'm worried that that suggests that, well, in all cases, there will be additional narrative explanatory information. I would have thought we would say something more along the lines that, the investors we present the reconciliation in a way that does 1, 2, and 3, and then we consider whether any additional explanatory information is necessary.
Yeah, thank you. I have a question about that's page 7. There you have the heading, reconciling between the opening and closing balances of liabilities arising from financing activities. And there it states that paragraph 44D provides you with how you can, in fact, disclose or fulfill the disclosure requirement of 44A. Mm-hmm. And then in the sentence further it says, when an entity discloses such a reconciliation, so when they apply 44D, it shall provide sufficient information to enable investors to link items included in the reconciliation to the statement of financial position and the statement of cash flows. And I was wondering where this exactly comes from, because in 44A, it says that an entity shall provide disclosure that enable user of financial statement to evaluate the changes. Then we have the reconciliation, and that might, that's a tool how to provide that disclosure. And now specifically, when you do that reconciliation, you say you have to make sure that there is sufficient information enabled to make the links. But in fact, is that not already required in 44A? Because when those links are not there, mm-hmm. how can you then comply with 44A? I'm a little bit afraid that this suggests that when you do the reconciliation, that you have stronger requirements.
Well, there's a very specific requirement in 44D if you provide the reconciliation.
So those words you're referring to, Tom, you'll notice they're in quotes because they are an exact quote from paragraph 44D.
Yeah.
So that is, in fact, the way it's structured. So we have the general requirement in 44A, and then we go on to be specific in 44D that if you're providing this reconciliation, there's a specific thing you need to do. So it's a direct reflection of what's in there.
Yeah, but still, it might disencourage people to provide this reconciliation. And that is stressed now in the wording of this tentative agenda.
but it would somehow seem remiss if we're talking about this not to actually quote the relevant requirements. So I think you're maybe questioning, should the requirement be as strong as that, or does it take away? But it's there, and it would seem to not be complete if we didn't at least reflect the requirements that are there.
Okay.
Young Su?
I just want to concur Goulang. I do not disagree with the agenda decision, but I think example or the educational material is much, much better to help people understand what this standard is.
Mary, did you want to make another suggestion?
I just was going to say to Tan that, well, I think your observation is a good caution that this could come across as discouraging people from providing the reconciliation. I think the discussion that's in the section immediately above the one you were looking at is the kind of the counterweight to that, because it, by reminding people of the further explanation that's in the basis for conclusion about what the investor needs are. That is, that applies however you satisfy the requirement, whether it's with a reconciliation or otherwise. So I think that by putting that first, it's just then saying, well, if you do, you know, if you're satisfying this with the reconciliation, given these overall investor needs that you need to understand and satisfy, this is what it means in the context of a reconciliation. So I think the top half of page 7 counters your concern about a disincentive for the reconciliation.
Yeah, you're right. Thank you.
All right. Somebody on the staff side, do you want to confirm what you've heard in terms of changes?
Okay, so in the first paragraph, I believe what we have heard is that we will propose change in the second sentence, and I'll read the whole thing out so we're absolutely clear. Specifically, investors ask whether the disclosure requirements in paragraph 44B to 44E require an entity to provide disclosures that meet the objective in paragraph 44A of IA 7. Okay. So that's the first amendment, and then the other one that has been proposed is at the bottom of page 4 in paragraph B. I won't read this one out word for word because we'll just have to make sure we've got all our grammar right and such, but in the sentence that begins accordingly, instead of going accordingly and straight to explanation, we would first say something like, accordingly an entity presents its reconciliation in a way that makes clear or explains, we'll tidy the wording up, the two items listed, and then considers whether any additional explanation is necessary. So I think those are the two changes we've got on the table.
And then I had a change in the last sentence. Sorry, the penultimate sentence.
I think what we'll do is we'll update that sentence to reflect change at the start. Does that make sense, Bonnie?
That's fine. I think it's important to say that IS7 is sufficiently clear to the disclosure that meets the disclosure objective. So,
okay. With those amendments, could I see a show of hands for those who support the tentative agenda decision, please?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12.
Okay, thank you.
Force this meeting to a close.